Hello, my name is Daniel Morris, and I'm pastor of Cultivate Church Nashville. I want to invite you to join us each Sunday on the Roots campus in Cool Springs for Bible study at 9 a.m. for adults, students, and children, and worship beginning at 10:30 a.m. Our vision is to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing every day in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at Cultivate, we're committed to bringing the love and transforming power of Christ to all people through evangelism and missions both here in the Nashville region and around the world. We're a church on the move, and I invite you to join us on our journey.
You ready to study the Word today? All right. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Today we finish what we started in Romans. So we're at the end, and I have so enjoyed preaching the book of Romans. I don't know if you've enjoyed hearing it, but I've enjoyed preaching it. We've talked about some of the deepest theology ever written. We've learned about grace and justification. We've learned about sin. We've learned about salvation. We've learned about sovereignty. We've unpacked the most practical Christian living, as Paul has written to both the Jews and the Gentiles, about how to live surrendered lives to the Lord, how to handle conflict. We've learned about how to deal with authority and how to love like Jesus. We've run the gamut in this. And after all of that, if you read chapter 16, if you've read ahead, all this stuff that could keep seminaries busy for decades and has, Paul doesn't just end with a theological mic drop. He could have. It'd have been great, but he didn't. He didn't end with a "Are now y'all go change the world." He didn't end with a "Now go be brilliant theologians, write about it." Instead, he ends with a list of names. He talks about Miss Phoebe, Miss Priscilla, and Mr. Aquila, Brother Rufus, he names him, the twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. How'd you like those names? It's kind of almost like a church directory. And I was reading that, and I was like, Paul, after all this, why would you end that way? After all of the profound things that Paul has written, why would he end that way? He ended with a shout out, just named people. And then as I prayed through it and was preparing for the sermon, I feel like Paul knew something that we can forget about our platform-obsessed, celebrity, evangelical, pastor-glorifying culture. The gospel was never meant to be carried by a few spotlight leaders. It has always been meant to be lived out by a unified body. The church was never intended to be a solo act. It was never intended to be a one-man show. It's not even supposed to be a pulpit-centered performance. The church is a team sport, you could say. It's a family, see. And we often don't think of it like a family, church family. It takes everyone working together. And often when we think about the church, we'll think about a platform, we'll think about the equipment, the microphone, the pastor, the preacher, whoever it might be, maybe the worship leaders, we'll think about them, we'll think about the programs that are offered, we'll think about what's there for my kids, what's there for my students. Those things matter. Those roles matter, don't get me wrong. They carry weight, they carry responsibility, but we can't confuse prominence with importance. James 3:1 reminds us that not many of you should become teachers or preachers because they'll be judged more strictly. So he's like, not everybody needs to be that. So there is burden and accountability for those who do hold those positions and teach publicly. But here's what I don't want us to miss. The church of Christ is not built on platforms. It's built on people. It's not held together by a pastor or one role or one family, but it's held together by every person doing its part, doing its role. Ephesians 4:11 says that God gave apostles, prophets, he gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church, not to do all the work of ministry, but to what? To equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church. It takes the ball not out of the court of the leadership. What is it? It's shared. It's shared ministry. We have shared ministry. This means to me, this is kind of how I boil it down, how I want to say it today. If you've been rescued by Jesus, you've been recruited by Jesus to be the church. You've got a role. If you've been rescued by Jesus, you've got a role. If you've been rescued, you've got gifts, and the church needs all of them equally. Equally. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, but our body have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. There it is. So while a pastor or a few people might have visibility, that doesn't mean that they're more valuable. I'll say it like this, and you can write this down if you want to. Visibility does not always equal value. You hear me? God sees the ones who are here at 7:45 to set up. God sees you. God sees the preparation that you make at home to lead worship on Sunday mornings, not just when you step on the platform. He sees that. God honors the faithful givers that no one ever claps for. We don't get up and just say, praise God to so-and-so for their faithful giving. We don't say that, but it takes that. He uses the intercessors in the back row just as much as the preacher up front, sometimes more. We'd miss the entire heartbeat of Romans, I think, if we overlooked Romans 16. In this chapter, I believe it kind of ties a bow around all the theology and the depth of what Romans is with this one thought. It's not just about what we believe. It's what's embodied and lived out in the house. Did you catch that? It's not enough to just believe all the right things, but that's supposed to be translated into our lives and how we live and work and move and function and treat each other and how we do life. I think that's why he ended the chapter, the whole book this way. We can have a killer vision. I think we do. I mean, I do. I think to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin and growing, it's a good vision. It's a biblical one. We could have a beautiful facility, and hopefully one day we will. We could have top-notch equipment and programs and everything that the church could offer. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Yes to all of it. But that doesn't matter. It will not matter if we're not united and intentional about living out what we believe. And Romans 16 speaks to it. I want us to walk through it together. Please stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read the whole chapter, all the names. All of you that hate reading names, I'll read them for you and we'll all laugh together. Here we go. Before we do, let's pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and speak to us through this chapter. So, Holy Spirit, we need you now. You're here. Your presence is here. I feel it. Thank you. We don't deserve that. We're grateful. And so would you stir? Stir. Say what you want to say. We're here for it. Do what you want to do. We're here for that. Change this church by your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Centrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. I'll tell you more about Phoebe in a little bit. Give greeting to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me, and I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greeting to the church that meets in their home. Home church. Greet my dear friend, Epaphras. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, which we think they're married, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. So they're old school believers, okay? They're first wave, first generation believers, okay? Even before Paul. Where do I leave off? Before I did. Eight. Greet Amplitius, whatever his name is, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, from our dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphenia and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, he worked so hard for the Lord. Greet brother Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. And give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philophagus, I don't know, Snuffleupagus, Julia, Nereus, a greeting sister, Olympias, and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. And all the churches of Christ send you their greetings. And now I make one more appeal to you, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause division and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving the Lord our God. They are serving their own personal interests. Watch this. By smooth talking and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. What that means is that it sounds almost right. It's deception. Okay, it sounds almost right, but it's not right. Okay, happening in the church, does that happen today? You better believe it. Okay. Nothing ever changes. Okay, so he says then, but everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of anything wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Victory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greeting, as do Lucius, Jason, well, that's an interesting name, and Sosipater. Sosipater, my fellow Jews, these are fun. Tertius, the one writing this letter for Paul, send my greetings also. So the writer, he was like, oh, I'm going to stick my name in there too, as one of the Lord's followers. Gaius says hello to you. He is host and also serves as host to the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, sends you his greetings too. They're all piling on. And so does our brother Cordus. Now, all glory to God who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like a southern goodbye, doesn't it? So I was like, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And then, you know, they follow you out to the car. Goodbye, goodbye. Okay, they all come, all right. So that's what it sounds like. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God commanded, this message is made known to all the Gentiles everywhere, so everybody knows it now, that they might too believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. And then say it. Amen. Amen. Sit down. There you go. Thank you. I should get a medal for that. Next time I'm going to pick out readers. Y'all read it. All right, here's what I picked up from this. If you're taking notes, every role is valuable, not just visible. Every role is valuable, not just visible. Look back at verse 1 and 2. He says, I commend my sister Phoebe. Talks about Phoebe, who's a deacon in the church in Sintra. Welcome her in the Lord as one of his worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful, and I underline that word helpful, to many and especially to me. All right, now, first name on the list that Paul does after this theological brilliance of Romans, the first person he thanks, he thanks Phoebe. And what does Paul call Phoebe? Okay? Now, he calls her servant deacon. It's the Greek word diakonos. Okay? And it does translate servant or minister. But get this. It's the same word that Paul uses for himself. Somewhere along the way, we've gotten the role of women wrong in the church. Our tradition doesn't like that. It doesn't like the weight that Scripture puts on women. I don't know why. I'm just going to read you what the Word of God says and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Fair? Now, it says that she was prostasis, okay? And that word helpful, when I told you I underlined that, that's the word prostasis, which means she was a benefactor or a patron, someone who financially most likely backed the ministry efforts of this early church, okay? So Paul wasn't just thanking her. Paul was entrusting her. He put a lot of trust into Phoebe. Most scholars agree and believe that Phoebe hand-delivered the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. She was the FedEx to the Romans of this. Romans is arguably the deepest theological work ever written. Arguably, I understand that. And God chose to deliver it through a woman on foot across dangerous terrain into the heart of the Roman Empire. See, you never know how far God will carry His word through your faithfulness. And here's a little insight for you. Don't underestimate the one who works the clipboard or writes the checks or does behind-the-scenes things at church. Listen, if Phoebe would have dropped the scrolls, we would not be reading this letter. If she would have dropped the ball, if she would not have been faithful, we most likely would not be reading it today. And I want you to know this. Some of you think, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't sing. I'm just behind the scenes. I don't know. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, there's not just anything. There's not the just ... God does not see you or anyone in the kingdom that way. God sees all. He rewards all. He calls all. And He uses all if you'll allow Him to. Our mandate as the body of Christ and as Cultivate Church is too great. We can't afford seat warmers, and Scripture doesn't give room for it. I don't care who you are. But we flip the script on church to make it something that we come and get, when it has always been, we're sent to give, serve, and love. We get it backwards. Now, yes, we're broken, hurting people. How many of you came in hurting and broken today? I know your stories. And yes, we come to be ministered to. And being here ministers to me greatly. But even in our weakness and our brokenness and in our need, God is made strong. And the Spirit of God working in and through you, if you will allow, will give you the strength to give of yourself even when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. There have been many Sundays where Daniel is standing here scraping the bottom of his barrel. And you probably know me well enough, you can tell at times. Listen, that stuff, boy, don't come to me with it. I'll send you packing. I don't want to hear it. Because there are people dying and going to hell that don't have anything and are grateful for a toothbrush. So don't waste my time. Don't waste our time arguing about trivial things that don't matter in eternity. I won't do it with you. I will not do it. And you shouldn't either. You should refuse. You should refuse. But that happens. And he's talking about, don't do that. It takes supernatural power to preserve unity. Right. You know how we try to preserve unity in our flesh? I'm going to tell you how. We try to do it through conformity. That's our version of unity in the flesh. Unity is something we can't accomplish on our own. Unity is something that happens in diversity through the Spirit of God bringing a group of people who are all different, on a different journey, we all got problems, we all got issues, and somehow we come together to do a kingdom work. That's unity in the body. Doesn't mean everybody loves everybody all the time. Well, you do, but it doesn't mean that you like everybody all the time. It doesn't mean that you see eye to eye on every issue, or that you vote the same, or that you drive the same cars, or that you raise your children the same. That's not what brings unity. That's uniformity. That's conformity. And we try to control that way. Well, we have to stay away from that. It's supernatural that brings unity and preserves. Psalm 133 says, where there is unity, God commands the blessing. God commands the blessing. The opposite is also true. Where there's division, the enemy finds the foothold. Do you remember Nehemiah? Of course you do. The wall did not stop being built because of an outside force. It slowed down because of internal opposition. People from within. So I'm telling you, hear me. Fight against gossip. Fight against it. Run away from it. But you don't have to put up with it. Don't be ugly about it. Just don't participate. Shut it down. Grumbling and complaining, that'll ruin a day. I'm telling you, we all got it hard enough. And yes, we should carry one another's burdens. But don't turn that into grumbling and complaining. Spiritual pride, don't let that be something that tears down what God's doing. Boy, that'll rip a record. I mean, the Spirit of God can be moving and some spiritual elite something is said and then I'm like, I'm not holy enough to be in this circle. Is your mouth and your actions, is your mouth and your actions building bridges or are they burning them? Do you have more people coming your way because of your unifying speech and actions, or do you have more people going in that direction? Are you planting seeds of peace or division? Those are hard questions to answer, aren't they? Here's number four, and I'm done. This gospel that he ends with, and that he has, this gospel is worth everything. And that's what these people knew. In verse 25, it says, now all glory to God who is able to make you strong, and that in some translations is to establish you, just as my good news says. Now, the good news, his good news is the gospel. That's what he's talking about. And your good news should be Christ's good news. That's it. Now, this Greek word established or make you strong, it means just simply to set fast, to make stable, to plant firmly so that nothing can move you. I don't care what you say, I'm following the Lord. I don't care what you say. You do what you want, say what you want, treat me how you want. I'm locked in. I'm locked in. I'm established. Here's how I'd say that. The gospel doesn't just save you. It roots you, it grows you, and it holds you in place when the winds come. Carolyn and I have a little, it's funny because we've seen it our whole life. We call them the church gypsies. You ever heard that term before? And they just go from wherever to wherever. They go here a little while, and then they get there till they suck that dry and get everything out of it that they can from that until it can't offer them anything anymore. And then that's not my people anymore. So then they go with some other, then they gypsy on over here, and they're, oh, we're excited to be over here now. And then they're there for a little while, and then they're like, oh, yeah, this woman came up and said that to me. They gypsy on over here, and they're like, oh, we're excited to be here now. And so the church gypsies, they might be believers. I'm not doubting that. But I'm telling you, the wind blows just a little bit, and then they fall like a house of cards. And I'm like, where's the stick to it? Where's the family? Where's the commitment? Where's the service? And I'll tell you, people abuse this. They're like, God's led me away, and God might. No doubt. But I think people use that sometimes to be like, it ain't my cup of tea anymore, so I'm out. I think God gets blamed for a lot of things that ain't his doings. By the way, you're going to have to answer for that. We're all going to have to answer for that. We need team players who are committed to finish strong because we know who we're running for. I want Cultivate to be a church that carries the gospel with gratitude and serves the mission with joy. We know what it's like to do hard. You know what it's like to do hard. There's a reason for that. God has baked in a reason for the life that he's given you for the hard. We know what it's like to have to forge hard relationships. We know what it's like to have loss. We know what it's like to be in need. We know what it's like to hurt. We know what it's like. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because God wants to use what we've been through to help someone else who's going through what we've been through so that we can bring them along and that we can love them and see them grow deep roots. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. The gospel is worth it. It's the main character of this story. Today's about stepping onto your spot on the team because it takes all of us. It takes all of us. Some of us need to lay down a solo mentality. I need to lay down a solo mentality. You know, I take so much burden on as pastor that I ought not to and wasn't designed to, and it's killing me. And that's something you can pray for me about. I fight that. And I know that. You don't have to tell me that. I know that. But I feel the weight. But my visibility is not more valuable than what God has called you here to do. Our ministry is a shared ministry. Some of us need to lay down our sideline mentality. Some of us are okay just sitting and watching everybody else do it. We don't have time. I'm telling you, we don't have time. Time. Today could be the day. It could be the day. And that doesn't give us the license to stop. It gives us the license. We better keep going to the end. If you're breathing, you got something to give. You've got something to give. Instead of criticism and critique, some of us need to start speaking blessings over our teammates. This needs to be a place where we walk in that we speak blessings over each other. God, we're not going to make it otherwise. Some of us need to re-sign up for our role in the body. When we're working together in unity as the church, everyone willing to be used, everyone exercising their gifts, I'm convinced that we'll be an unstoppable force. That God can fill and use to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. So what's your part on the team? What's your part? What are you doing?